on a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness till boredom overtook us. And he began to speak. He said, "Son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces and knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind my saying, I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice." So I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. Then he bummed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. Said, "If you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done."
What is going on, everybody? Thought I'd switch things up for everybody right here in the beginning, since we've had some new listeners come on board this week, for better or for worse, so thought we'd switch things up. I got my last remaining thoughts on these raffles. For some reason, people thought were a good idea to even try. And I'm going to clarify the 2013 Bowman Joe Flacco card that I talked about on last show or on 130. And Topps is for sale. So we'll talk about Topps being for sale as a company. And if one of these big rich box breakers is going to buy Topps. So we'll talk about that. Last remaining thoughts on these raffles. First of all, is that I think people are starting to realize what they did was a big middle finger to the law or whoever, and whether you think that's a good idea to do or not, eventually somebody was going to get caught. And once one person got caught, they were just going to all point the finger at, say, Box Break A website gets caught. Well, he was going to get caught by PayPal or whoever. He was going to point the finger at Box Break C, D, E, and F site that was doing the exact same thing if he got shut down. So, and we actually saw that happen on Twitter. Well, once I put up a list of names, all the little fanboys out there started telling me who else did it. So I didn't have to do any more research. It was much easier. So exact same thing would have happened if it was the Box Breaker themselves. They would have all just pointed their fingers. So people blamed me, but really I saved you guys from a lot of headaches here in the future, whether it be your PayPal account closing or you having to close your whole business or owing lots of people money because your account was frozen, owing your distributor money, etc. So, you know, really the funny thing is I don't even know if box breaking's legal. I've been talking to eBay. I even talked to them back in January in Las Vegas, flew all the way to Las Vegas and talked to eBay up in the Caesar's Palace suite, this huge suite that they brought me up into. And one of the first things I talked to them about was box breaking. And I don't have a box break site. My site doesn't even really benefit from box breakers. It's really more of a set. There's a hell of a lot more set builders out there, trust me, than people that like box breaking. You combine them all, there's still a lot more people that collect sets and collect individual team cards. But I took it upon myself to talk to eBay and try to get them to clarify the rules on this. Well, what they sent me back was pretty, I don't know, I've tried to read it about 12 different times. I'm still not sure. Something about grab bags and if you guarantee certain things and you can't, and I don't know. And the thing I'll say is that people have legally reverse transactions for box breaks all day long on PayPal. And here's the even funnier thing is I put up a list of names of box breakers that I thought were doing shady things. Well, back in Vegas, back in March, there was, I don't know, five, six. I don't know. I wasn't there, but this is coming from my brother who was in the room and seems very credible. He said one of the major things that they talked about was box breakers wanted to create a blacklist of customers, people that bought into these breaks, who legally got a refund from PayPal. Let me repeat that. I don't know if everybody got that. The box break sellers, the box breakers, wanted to create a blacklist of customers who legally got a refund from PayPal. So they wanted to put a blacklist of people who legitimately got a refund from PayPal. PayPal said, yes, you do get your money back. And the box breakers wanted to put up a blacklist of those kind of people. And then they get mad at me when I put up a list of names of who's running illegal raffles in every state in this country. It shows you how arrogant these guys are and how you shouldn't trust any of them with any of your money or your cards. These guys are greedy, which is why they had to do illegal raffles, because it's not football season and it's not this, that, and the other. And basketball barely sells, and they don't do baseball very much. And so there's nothing going on right now. And so nothing's selling. So they got to do these illegal raffles. You know, and they want to set up a blacklist for customers that legitimately get a chargeback. You guys want to find out customers out there, everybody out there listening to this. If you've bought into a box break at any time, just go to PayPal and reverse the transaction. I don't care if you got an RG3 or a Michael Agnew or nothing. You can reverse the transaction and get your money back. Period. And if these box breakers want to go around waving their you-know-what and saying how big they are and how they're saving the hobby, they need to realize that their business probably should remain small, because if it got too big, everybody would just start rolling them, and eventually PayPal would just shut them down, and then they'd have no business. Sometimes businesses should remain small businesses, and box breaking is one of those. Most scams start out small. That's what a lot of people don't realize. They grow in sophistication. People start pointing fingers once one gets caught. I kind of knew that was happening. And so everybody out there should feel lucky that I just basically threw out a warning. I could have thrown compliance at paypal.com. If you want to report anybody, it's compliance at paypal.com. That's the email address. I didn't send any emails there. Why I did this, I got a lot of questions. Why I'm doing this, why I'm a snitch, why I'm this and that. Let me tell you why I did this. First of all, these box breakers brag about how rich they are. If you know any rich person I've ever met, never tells you how much money they have. In fact, they try to downplay it usually. They try to tell you they're broke. And so these guys go around waving money in the air like they just don't care. It's like, cool, okay, well, maybe you guys are rich, but let me tell you what would have happened to you. A lot of these box breakers buy these boxes, or they set up these box breaks before they even pay for the product. It's either on COD or they have a net 30 type account, which means they buy the product and they don't have to pay the distributor for it for 30 days until they have to start paying interest on it or penalties. So that means they can set up these box breaks, pool everybody's money into one PayPal account. And maybe you buy into these box breaks legitimately. Maybe you don't even know he's doing these little $5 raffles on the side or in this chat room or whatever. And all of a sudden he gets shut down for that. He's not going to be able to withdraw any money from his PayPal account. Even if it's for one $5 transaction, one illegal $5 transaction. If he has $5,000 in his PayPal account, that's not going anywhere. And he's going to owe the distributor money. He's going to owe PayPal money. And he's going to, more importantly, owe his customers money. And trust me, these guys are not that rich. If they're saying they're millionaires and saying, oh, I don't care about this and that, and they have to run, the way you know these guys aren't that rich is, one, they're doing box breaks. How many rich, does Warren Buffett do what box breaks? Did Steve Jobs get on his iPhone and do box breaks? No, because they were rich. When they're done from work, they go home. Or when they're done from work, they retire. And they go to a beach or hang out with their family. They don't need to get in front of a camera and open packs, which is really not that hard. I can teach my 9-year-old nephew how to get in front of a camera, open up a pack, and read some names. It's not that hard. These box breakers aren't saving the hobby. In fact, they're driving up the price on stuff. This stuff would be, the only people they're helping is Panini America and Topps. They're driving up the price on all that. If you like opening wax, they're driving up the price on it. You'd be sitting at Panini's headquarters right now for $40 a box. The bottom line, though, is this was blatantly illegal. You can't attract new affluent customers to this hobby. Let me repeat that. We are a hobby that's been on the decline for many years, and we're trying to attract new affluent collectors, not dumb idiots that like to illegally gamble that'll risk your getting your PayPal account. Those aren't the customers you want that pressure you to do illegal things. If you gave in and did these raffles because your customers want it, you don't want those customers. Those aren't the customers you want. Customers that are encouraging your business to do something that'll get it shut down? No. Sorry. Get out of here. I don't want you in my store is what I would say to those people. You want affluent, educated customers that have money, that are going to get a paycheck time and time and time again and buy and buy and buy from you. You don't attract those people with legal activity. Those people are smarter than that. And that's why those people don't buy into your breaks. And you'll never become a, quote, big rich box breaker running illegal raffles anyways. You're going to get shut down. Somebody's going to point the finger at you someday. So it just doesn't make sense. So I'm glad it seems like people have realized. And so maybe I've gone on for 10 minutes here about nothing. And people have already, I've hammered my point into the ground here. It seems like I probably have. And again, affluent, educated people already have gotten my point 2 weeks ago, 5 years ago, when they realized, oh, doing illegal things is probably not a good idea, especially if you're a business and you want to be a business for a long time. And I put air quotes around business. None of these box breakers are a business or a quote company like they try to tell you. Trust me, these guys are not, these guys are poop on the ground when it comes to companies. Trust me. There's websites and apps that don't even sell anything that make more money in 10 minutes than these guys do in a whole year. These guys are nothing. Sports cards are nothing. And that's my next argument. Topps is for sale. And where's all the buyers? Where's a big rich box breakers? Where's Panini? Where's Upper Deck? Where's Brian Gray? Where's Press Pass? Where's some big rich investor that wants to buy this company? No one does. Why? Because sports cards is a piece of crap business. And I'm not saying, and I've been in sports cards my whole life, and I'm not getting out of that. I'm not trying to say that to get you guys out of this business, but you got to realize that there are small businesses like Topps. There are small businesses like Panini America. Those are two small businesses, small companies. I know in sports cards they're the giants, but compared to Dell, compared to Intel, compared to Qualcomm, compared to Twitter, compared to Pinterest, a website that started like a year and a half ago, those companies are nothing. Those companies could buy Topps and Panini, they wouldn't even blink an eye. Google makes more money in a day. Could buy both those companies in the same day with how much money they make. It's a small business. That's why nobody's trying to buy Topps. That's why the for sale sign's been on it for months. That's why they're sending out Doc Goodens and Gary Carters to try to clear the balance sheet. That's why employees that have been there for 9 years leave all of a sudden because you realize, oh, it's for sale. They're not going to give me a raise. They're going to try to hire a bunch of low, you know, $10 an hour employees. They're going to try to clear the books, try to clear all obligations and sell this thing. And so that's why guys leave. And they're having trouble selling it, I guarantee you. Nobody wants to buy a baseball card company. Nobody does. It's not a good business. And so it's a hobby. And so that's what most of my podcast, 129 and before, and 133 and beyond, are going to be about this wonderful hobby. My suggestions to all of you, since there's a lot of people seem to want to be entrepreneurs and stuff like that in this hobby, is keep it a hobby. If you want to make money, sell or get interested in products that everybody uses. The internet, shoes, cars, cell phones, food, water, insurance, housing, clothing, oil, gas for their car, vacations. This is something everybody does. There's just so little people that collects. Out of all the people I know, I'm the only one that collects baseball cards. outside the little community I've made inside of baseball cards. That should tell you something. Out of everybody I know, everybody wears shoes. Out of everybody I know, they all drink water. Out of everybody I know, they all have a place to live. That tells you that there's better business opportunities out there. And if you're making, maybe you are successful in cards. Maybe you're making a couple $100 a week or a couple $100 a day, maybe. It just shows you you can make a lot more elsewhere. If you're making that kind of money in sports cards, you're wasting your time. You're probably smart enough to make a lot more money elsewhere in fields that actually have a big business. And somebody like Topps would be bought. But in a business like that where they only have one buyer, and Panini basically can just wait and wait and wait and wait and wait until Topps just gets devalued and devalued and devalued, and finally it makes sense for them to buy it, maybe they make an offer. But my guess is they don't even have the money. They'd have to borrow it. Anybody that bought Topps in the card company would have to buy it. None of these guys have a couple $100 million just sitting around. If they did, they retire. It's called opportunity cost. Sorting through cards and trying to fill breaks takes tons of time, and that's time taking you away from finding an even more profitable business that'll outlast cards and that are far more sustainable and a much bigger business than cards. I'm not trying to turn anybody away from starting a little hobby or starting a little box break sites, which almost all of them are. They're all, quote, little. Yeah, they maybe made a little money last year, or maybe make a little bit of money here and there. But they were all willing to gamble it away, basically, by running raffles. So it shows you how much they care about their business and how smart these guys are. They're not smart. They're dumb. Last thing that we'll touch on today's show, and then I'm going on a vacation myself, so that's my second one in 2 weeks, and then I've got another one coming up after that. So last thing I want to clarify is the 2013 Bowman Joe Flacco cards that I talked about on show number 130. An eBayer or a collector had gotten in touch with me, and I think we were both pretty confident that these were probably, like, one was the rainbow foil, I think, and one is not the rainbow foil, but just from the pictures that we saw, it was hard to tell. I got another collector that was really nice to email me a couple scans comparing, like, a non-rainbow foil than a rainbow foil, and it's easier to see when there's better scans. And he said that, yeah, I haven't seen any. They're numbered out of 50, so I haven't seen either card myself in person. But basically said, you know, hey, in person, the paper version and the rainbow foil version are going to be pretty easy to tell. So I'm still awaiting the collector that bought both the Flaccos, but I don't think that was a case where it was two serial numbered one of 50 cards. There's a rainbow foil card in 2013 Bowman, and there's an orange card, and they just happen to look very similar. If it's a poor picture, like with a cell phone or from distance, if it's not a scan. So just wanted to clarify that. And that's about it, folks. Don't got a whole lot else. You know, only a 20-minute show or so. I think that's all people can stand most of the times anyways. But we'll come back. I'm caddying in this golf tournament here in the next couple days. And so it might last 3 days. But if the guy does really well, I'm going to be there for like a week and a half. So hopefully my vacation gets extended by good play. But if not, I'll be back next week and we'll talk about some of the new releases. I think there's some really nice releases coming out towards the end of this month. We've got National Treasures basketball. Panini Signatures basketball got moved back. I think there's a baseball set that comes out. And Elite Football has just came out. But, you know, football right now, since nobody's playing, it really is kind of hard to get. It's not like last year where you had Robert Griffin and you had all these guys that you knew were going to come in and kind of be starters more than likely. Now it's like, you know, Geno Smith might be a starter, but, you know, there's not many other quarterbacks that look like they're going to jump in. You know, some of the other offense, Giovanni Bernard and Eddie Lacy and guys like that, not necessarily going to be like the top dog, like right in the beginning. So it really is hard to get excited about football. So we'll have to hang in there for another month or so until, or not, actually, I think just a couple more weeks until we get training camps and stuff like that for football. So that'll be exciting. That might create some movement and shake things up a little bit in football, because it just seems kind of like stagnant right now. So we'll see if training camps and maybe some opportunities on depth charts opening up, or you know, even guys from last year. You know, it's still good if like Robert Griffin can be healthy and start from week one and look good and stuff. And Andrew Luck looks like a guy that's, you know, turning into Peyton Manning Jr. and stuff like that. So it'll be nice to see if those things materialize in the next couple of weeks. Until then, hey, we got no baseball right now. It's like the All-Star break and stuff. I didn't really catch a whole lot of that. So hopefully my podcast in this kind of downtime in sports, hopefully we've entertained you here. If not, we certainly don't pressure you to listen here on the show. We don't pressure you to go to our website or anything like that. You do what you want in this hobby. Just handing out advice here. And thanks for tuning in today. We are out of here.